Well, hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber here at the Word of the King, at Holiness Bibles for the Blind.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 tells us that where the Word of the King is, there is power. We may say unto him, what doest thou?
1 John chapter 2, verse 20-21. But ye have an unction from the Holy. Ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not truth, because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So now go ahead and open up and say a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we consider the option that we as born again, deemed children of the living God, have from you, the Holy One. Now, by way of you, the Holy One, our relationship to you, we need more things. We want to give you thanks, dear God.
Yes.
Having been born of your Spirit, we are of the truth. Therefore, we can speak according to the Spirit of truth. Because you've given us the words of truth, Lord God. I pray you would help me, dear God, even this day, Lord God, to speak according to the oracles of the living God, according to the Spirit of truth. I give you thanks, dear God, for how you will work through this message. Benefit both saved and unsaved alike. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Amen.
Again, 1 John 2, 21. I have not written unto you, because ye know not the truth, because ye know it. That no lie is of the truth. I'm told in the book of Romans, ye let God be true, and every man a liar.
Amen.
Verse 22, 1 John 2, says, who is a liar? He that denieth Jesus Christ. He is Antichrist, denieth the Father and the Son. Verse 23, whosoever denieth the Son, same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. I want to consider this unction that we have from the Holy One. Even as we have acknowledged as children of God, purchased by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, even as we have acknowledged the Son, have the Father also. We have an unction from the Holy One. We know all things. One of the things that God used to provoke me to preach this message is a conversation that I had earlier today with another brother in the Lord by the name of Hank. Please pray for him. I was talking with him, and he brought up one particular doctrinal issue, and that was the whole debate over pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, timing of the rapture of the saints. And at one point, in so many words, he was just like, I don't know. I'm no expert. And just listening to him talk, it became obvious to me that he didn't believe he could know what the scriptures truly teach concerning that particular matter. Not just that matter, quite frankly, but a number of other things. And I just said to him, I said, Hank, there's one reason why I do not agree with you. Because of this, and I turned here, verse John 2, and one of the verses I read to him, verse 20, but give an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. And I explained to him that surely as he is saved, surely as I am saved, surely as you are saved, dear listener, you have the greatest teacher there is, living, and sight. He is the Holy One, God Almighty Himself. Even as you are one, as a believer in Jesus Christ, with the Holy One Himself, that Holy One knows all things. According to 1 John 2, verse 20, you know all things. Now, turn over here to Psalm 78, verses 1 through 4. At one point, not long after I initially had this conversation with this brother Hank, he sent me a text, and he referred me to this psalm. Psalm 78. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. And the verse that Hank referred me to in particular was verse 2. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Basically, what this dear brother in Christ was trying to imply was that these parables, this parable of which it is written, I will open my mouth in a parable, I will utter dark sayings of old. The parable, the dark sayings of old, he was trying to imply, were things that one, albeit one such as myself, one such as you, one such as himself, could not know or understand. Now, I, of course, was led of the Spirit to read verse 3, and what do I read in verse 3? Which we have heard and known in our fathers' fullness. Verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, shewing to the generation to come praises of the Lord, his strength, his wonderful works he hath done. Verse 3 says, of this parable, these dark sayings we have heard and know, and our fathers have told us. I was led to the Spirit of the text, hey, back, reminded to look. Verse 3. And then read 1 John chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, and believe it. We have heard and known, 1 John 2, verses 20 and 21. You have an unction, the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is the truth. So, just surely, as you are born again, dear listener, surely as I am born again, we have an unction from the Holy One. We know all things, and in knowing all things, we ourselves can hear and we can know the parable, dark saying of old that's been uttered, and ultimately, we know that this right here in Psalm 70, verse 2, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. There was a fulfillment of that, ultimately, in the Lord Jesus Christ, the words that he spake during his earthly ministry, in the parables he spoke. The Holy One himself, the Messiah of Israel, speaking the parable, uttering that dark saying of old, so that men can hear and know. They have been told to their fathers. Having an unction from the Holy One, knowing all things. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. You know, when I consider the Holy One, Christ, when I consider the Holy One, the very Spirit of Jehovah God, the Holy One, who is the light of the world, sheds light upon the dark. I'll be the dark sayings of old. So surely, you are saved. You have an unction from the Holy One. You have an unction. And that true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And that light is the Holy One. Can and will shed itself upon the dark sayings of old. You can know and you can understand. Even as you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. 1 John 2, verse 20. But again, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. So, there's the new, the new man versus the old man. There's the spirit versus the flesh. We're told in the book of Galatians. The new man, the new creature, is one that is taught the Spirit of God. The old man, the natural man, that which is of the flesh, is ultimately taught by flesh. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 16, sheds some more light upon this matter. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Starting in verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Hey, listen, can you honestly, sincerely say you love God? This day, he first loved you. Verse 10, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 2. Things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Various spiritual things with spiritual. So that unction from the Holy One is an option that would drive you and I, children of God, to prepare spiritual things with spiritual. And if you and I are willing to be taught of the Spirit, if taught of the Spirit means comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Even as God can and is willing to show us all things, even as we know all things, there's nothing that we cannot know, even as there's nothing that we cannot be taught of God. Here's the issue right here, verse 14, 1 Corinthians 2. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Natural man, the old man, that which is of the flesh, sees not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. First of all, to be taught of God, to be taught of God, you must be led of God. To be led of God must be walking in the Spirit and according to Spirit of God. Romans makes it clear, for as many as are the sons of God, they are led by the Spirit of God. The book of Galatians says, if we be led of the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And of course, one of the works of the flesh is, according to the book of Galatians, heresies. So you cannot, I cannot, as a Christian, be in the flesh and expect to be taught with the Spirit of God at any given moment. I'm in the flesh. So, perhaps, one reason why some Western Christians, truly born of the Spirit of God, feel as though they cannot be taught anything, or feel as though they cannot, should I say, know or understand anything, perhaps the reason why they think like that and they feel like that is because they're walking in the flesh, they're not walking in the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 tells us, wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And ultimately, we know that the wrath of God was revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Both the truth and unrighteousness, and that wrath of God was revealed at the cross that was poured out upon the Son, the living God, the Savior, all men, especially them that believe. We're also told there in Romans chapter 1 that God has put the knowledge of himself in every man. And yet the natural man, even with that knowledge of God, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. He can't know them because they are spiritually discerned. One more reason why Jesus said, no man can come unto me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So he has the sinner, so he has the soul of man, is drawn God the Father to the Son Jesus Christ, that he can come. Despite sin, despite of his natural ways. Verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 2 says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged no man. Verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. As a Christian, you and I, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of the Holy One. And even as we have the mind of the Holy One, we have the mind of him who knows all things. Therefore, according to 1 John 2, verse 20, we know all things. It's just a matter of whether or not we are willing to be taught those things by the Spirit of God, according to the mind of Christ, according to the Word of Christ, according to the Word of God. Continuing on, I want to say something here about the danger of reference Bibles, and I'm going to make specific reference Schofield reference Bible, because ultimately that, I would say, is by far the most popular one out there. I know when I was talking to my friend Hank, his brother in the Lord, earlier today, he was saying the things he was saying and making it sound like he just can't know anything for sure about things in the scriptures, you know, apart from, of course, what Ben would define as the fundamentals or the basics. I asked him if he read or studied, read from the Schofield reference Bible. He said, yes, he did. And I, quite frankly, was very quick to tell him, and that's probably one of the reasons why he's so confused and feeling as though he cannot really know anything. And I instructed him, I encouraged him to just get a Bible. Doesn't have any of those reference commentary notes. But if it has anything, just has some scripture references. If anything, scripture references will help, will encourage one to read, study the scriptures, just like the scriptures command one to. Comparing spiritual with spiritual. One of the illustrations that I would use to explain why I say that, because hypothetically speaking, imagine Pope of Rome came out with the Papal Reference Bible, and for every verse, for every passage of scripture there was in all Holy Writ, Pope Francis had his own personal explanation. What that scripture, what that text meant and implied. Surely, any devout Roman Catholic reading the Papal Reference Bible would interpret the scriptures in light of what? The Pope himself, albeit Pope Francis, said was the meaning, proper interpretation of those verses. And same way with the reference Bible, including the Scofield reference Bible. A lot of professing Christians have this Scofield reference Bible. They read from it. And they just interpret everything in light of what Scofield says. And they're not taught by the Spirit of God. They're not taught. They're not led by that unction of the Holy One. Whereby, according to 1 John 2, verse 20, they know all things. And therefore, after a while, the devil indirectly, albeit subconsciously, sends them the message that they cannot understand the scriptures for themselves. And therefore, slowly get the idea. There's no use studying the scriptures itself. Some still read, but they don't study. Others stop studying, stop reading altogether. It's a very, very subtle trick of that crooked serpent, the devil, who was more subtle than any beast told there in Genesis. Now, according to 1 Corinthians 6, now look at 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 14. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Verse 15, know ye not your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. Verse 16, what? Know ye not he which is joined to an harlot is one body? Two saith he should be one flesh. 17, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So, having been born of the Spirit of God, you and I as Christians, we are joined unto the Lord. We are one Spirit. We are one with the Holy One. We are, according to Ephesians 5, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And again, even as we are one with the Holy One himself, Spirit. So, as we are one with the Holy One who knows all things, we, according to 1 John 2, verse 20, know all things. matter of submitting to Christ as our head, being taught by him. There's nothing that we cannot know according to Holy Writ, according to those things which contain in the scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. I have forwarded this text, Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 1 through 5. I forwarded this to my dear brother in Christ down there in Pensacola, Florida, as a means of encouragement to him and exposing this devil that was trying to tell him, trying to make him feel like he cannot understand the scriptures and he cannot know marvelous truths of the scriptures, that he cannot really be taught. Jeremiah 33, verses 1 to 3. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, I will answer, shew thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. So, the Lord, we would just call upon him and ask him. He's willing to show us great and mighty things which we know not. He, the Holy One, who knows all things, is willing to show us great and mighty things which we know not. And yet, it is in and through him, in and by him as the Holy One, whom we are one, that we know all things, even as he is willing to show us all things which we, in and of ourselves, know not. You know, I'd say here at this point, one thing I would say is, you know, we need to beware of a false humility. I can just hear someone saying, well, saying or thinking, well, I can't know all things. Why do you insinuate that I can't know all things? Why? Now, wouldn't that be kind of prideful? Wouldn't that be kind of arrogant to insinuate that I can know all things? Well, John 2:20 says, if you're saved, even also from the Holy One, and you know all things. 1 John 2, verse 20 is not in any way, shape, or form exhorting anybody to be proud or arrogant. So, if you're saying or if you're thinking you can't know all things, dear Christian, I just want you to know that's a false humility. Well, it has you thinking that way, it has you saying that. Now, it is true that knowledge puffeth up, charity edifieth. Knowledge that you gain apart from the Holy One and the unction that he gives, that knowledge will most definitely puff you up. But knowledge that you gain, that you get by way of the Holy One, his unction, his knowledge will often be humble. So, continuing on here, St. John 16. Look at St. John 14 first. Let's do St. John 14, verses 12 through 18, then we'll go to St. John 16. St. John 14, starting in verse 12. Lord Jesus Christ speaking, verily, verily, I say unto you, believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Dear Christian, are we standing upon the promises of God when it comes to prayer? Verse 15, if you love, keep my commandments. Verse 16 of St. John 14, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comfort. He may abide with you forever. 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, he dwelleth with you, shall be in you. Verse 18, Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. One note I would make here, Jesus says in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, verse 16, speaking of the Spirit of truth, the comfort, Jesus says, he may abide with you forever. Again, the Lord God Almighty said that he will never leave you nor forsake you, Christian. He will never leave nor forsake you, as the Spirit of truth. Once he comes and takes up residence in the comfort, he abides forever. The Word of God says, even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive, seeth him not, neither knoweth him. You know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Here we have Jesus. Fullness of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, speaking as the fullness, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, you know him, for he dwells with you. He was dwelling with them in the person of the Son, Jesus Christ himself. And hence Jesus said, it shall be him. I will not leave you comforts. I will come. St. John, chapter 16, we're going to read verse 1 through 16, and we're slowly going to start to wrap things up. St. John 16, starting in verse 1, down to verse 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. I shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you thinks that he doeth God's service. These things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. These things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you them. These things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. None of you ask me, whither goest thou? Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Sin, because they believe not on me. Righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, which cannot bear them now. Verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, will guide into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. So here in verse 13 of St. John 16, Jesus says, the Spirit of truth, and he's come. We'll go to all truth. Again, verse 9 through 20. Even as you have Spirit of truth, spirit of the Holy One. Cy, you have an unction from the Holy One if you're a Christian. You know all things. That spirit of truth, the spirit of the Holy One, will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, Jesus said. For you shall receive of mine as fulfilled unto you. Again, we read there in 1 Corinthians 2 about the Spirit. Shows us, reveals to us those things that are freely given to us from God. Verse 15 of St. John 16, Jesus says, all things the Father hath in mine, therefore said I that you shall take of mine, shall shew it unto you. Verse 16, a little while you shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Here we see the Lord Jesus Christ giving a nice description, ministry of the Holy Spirit, who reveals unto us the things that are freely given to us of God. For again, what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man. Spirit of God. As Jesus said in verse 15 of St. John 16, all things the Father hath in mind, for said I, ye comfort, spirit of truth, shall take of mine, shall shew it unto you. You and I, dear listener, we cannot listen to the voice of a man in such a way as to put his voice on the same authority or on the same level as Scripture, as having the same authority as Scripture, and expect to hear and be taught of the spirit of truth from the words of truth. Cannot expect that any more than we could expect to serve two masters. It's impossible. So, we must choose this day, yea, we must choose every day. Whether we, as Christians, are going to be taught of God by that unction of the Holy One, according to that unction of the Holy One that we have inside of us, from the Spirit of truth, the comfort, the Holy Spirit, even as we know all things, according to 1 John 2:20. We must choose. We're going to be taught of God. We're going to be taught of man. But beware, beware, lest you find yourself in a position where you feel like you just cannot understand the Scriptures. If you ever get to that point, remember 1 John 2:20. You have an unction from the Holy One. You know all things. Now, before I conclude, say, especially if anyone listening to this message who is not 100% sure that he or she is born of the Spirit, that his or her sins forgiven, washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, I want to read, When Infidels Die, by C.D. Carter. Again, this is When Infidels Die, by C.D. Carter. When a man takes Christ as his Savior, his heart is flooded with such peace, joy, and assurance that it's really a little foretaste of heaven. Likewise, many infidels have received a little foretaste of hell in their last hours on earth. In some cases, they receive such an awful revelation, their impending doom, friends at their bedside cannot endure it. They fled from the room. When Voltaire was dying, his condition became so frightful that his nurse said repeatedly, all the wealth of Europe. I would never see another infidel die. Till this moment, said Sir Thomas Scott, I thought there was neither a God nor a hell. Now I know that there are both. I am doomed to perdition, just judgment of the Almighty. I am suffering the pangs of the damned, cried Talleyrand, French statesman. I would rather lie on that stove fire, said M.F. Rich, and broil for 1 million years, go into eternity with eternal horrors hang over my soul. I might interject here for a moment, dear listener, and just read this again, I would. Stop and think about that. Confession by M.F. Rich. I would rather lie on that stove fire, said M.F. Rich, and broil for 1 million years, and go into eternity with the eternal horrors hang over my soul. Talk about it is a fearful thing to fall on the hands of the living God. I can see the old devil here in the bedroom, cried out A.T. Adams. Oh, thou blasphemed Lord, exclaimed the dying Automel. Hell itself is a refuge, but hide me from thy frown. Do I assert there is no hell while I feel one in my own bosom? Asked Sir Francis Newport. But there is a hell, I am certain, having received in earnest my inheritance already in my own breast. Oh, that I were to lie 1,000 years upon the fire that never is quenched, purchase the favor of God and be reunited to him again. It is a fruitless wish. Millions and millions of years will bring me no nearer the end of my torments than 1 or 4 hours. With a groan of inexpressible horror, he cried, oh, the insufferable pangs of hell, oh, eternity, forever, forever. He was gone. How awful they should go out into that place, everlasting punishment, at 25 or 46. Yet it was the result of their own deliberate choice. God could have saved them, had they been willing. Likewise, God is ready to save you. That same dreadful place, the willing. The Son of God loved you enough to die for you, and he is ready to save you now. You will let him. We pray that you will wake up now and make the right decision. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. John 3:36.
Well, we're told, but as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for cursed be everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, we're told in the book of Galatians, all but here it is. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Repent ye and believe the gospel, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, shall cleanse you from all sin, for if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Menial, mortal, sin, whatever you call it, all unrighteousness. God is faithful to forgive those who confess their sins to him through faith in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection alone. For by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Call upon the Lord today. This is Evangelist Timothy Groover. Till next time, God bless you and yours.